You are listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to call in and ask questions or give comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support a Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, and Inspect Ohio of Prospect. Inspect Ohio of Prospect, Ohio. Short on the information, but you have their names. All righty. Also, I have a thought for you today. Change your life today. Don't gamble on the future. Act now without delay. And I think what that is saying is don't depend on tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So if we're going to make a change, let us start like right now. No matter how hard it hurts or how bad it hurts, let's start to make a change for our lives right now. I have with me today Barbara Jagger Mills. I love her name. Makes me think of Mick Jagger every time I say that. She is the director of A Voice of a Hope. And how are you doing today, Barbara?
I'm doing great, Linda. Thanks so much for having me come out again today.
Well, of course. I love to have you there. Yeah, I love great. People.
My name may be Jagger, but I cannot sing or dance. So, but we'll let people think that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought he was a little stiff on dancing, but yeah, I like this music, you know.
It's way better than I would do.
I used to love his music. I can't get no satisfaction. That was back in the 60s, maybe.
Right. Probably.
Yeah. I used to love that song. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Really good. Kids are back to school.
Oh, wow.
So smile on my face.
Yes.
May have something to do with that. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Doing
good.
Great. I know you were saying earlier about getting them out the house and what it looks like after they've left, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I'm always excited when the year ends and they come home and you just think of all the summer fun that you can have. And then I am just as excited pack them up and ship them back to school. I get a little happy about that.
That's
but
good.
Yeah, and balancing that, you know, sometimes they would come to work with me and just kind of getting everybody like, oh, who you're going to be with today? You got to go with this person and that person. Is just nice to be done.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
I'm sure you're not alone as being a parent and getting your kids out in one piece.
Yep.
You being in one piece.
Right. Yes.
Because they got it down pat, you know, they're out that door and gone. Then you're left with whatever.
Yeah, right. I feel like my house is saying,
it probably is. Take a deep breath. Let's
breathe
and relax, right? So what's going on in your life today, Barbara?
Well, I mean, I'd like to say not much of anything, but lots of stuff is happening. A lot of things are going on. I'm the director for Voice of Hope Pregnancy Center, and amazing things are happening. You know, we're servicing a lot of people in the community. We're getting a lot of support, which is great. It's getting to the point where we need more help to help the people, which that's always, you know, a good place to be.
Yes,
so there's always
is.
Opportunities. Definitely want to give that plug that if you're, you know, looking for an avenue to serve, give us a call. Because we're definitely in need of more volunteers, because people are starting to recognize that we are there for the community and we can help with basic needs. And it's just amazing to be a part of that and to help the community. So things are going really well. I was out for an entire week, went to training in Columbus at Heartbeat International. So I'm revved up and ready to go with more information. So just on how to be a stronger director and help the ministry grow and you know, minister to the women and the families that we serve in the community.
Right. So how is the input and the output going as far as people coming in and You being able to serve them. I know you have a staff there too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And volunteers.
Yep. Yeah, we. Right. I mean, we have more volunteers than we have staff.
Okay.
You know, and we are. I mean, it's funny how it just keeps increasing. I don't know if I told you the last time that I was here. I haven't, you know, finished up my stats to see, but we are. I knew we were on pace, but when I first started this in 2015, we did 603 services, and that's in all three counties.
Okay.
In 2016, the following year, we did 605 services in Marion alone.
Oh.
We did a total of 919 services. And then for 2017, we've done a total of 1,096 services in all three counties. And the largest percentage mm-hmm. is from Marion because it's, you know, the bigger city.
Right,
and,
bigger city.
Yeah,
right.
A lot more volume, a lot more people that we're seeing. And we're seeing a variety of people. We're seeing, you know, young girls that with unplanned pregnancies, you know, come in, need help, need to get a pregnancy test. We're able to, you know, get them the ultrasound, you know, make sure that we provide a way for them to see and hear their baby. But we're also seeing more families that need help and
really?
Need that support and need the extra mentorship and, you know, everything that our program offers. And then what I find to be absolutely amazing is the increase of the families coming in that just need help, that, you know, so that number is growing too. If their kids are in foster care or at risk of being placed into foster care, mm-hmm. removed from the home, you know, our program is helping them as well. So it's just great. It's a great program to be a part of. And I love seeing the fact that it's growing. And I think a lot of the growth is due to the fact that we're getting the word out there and letting people in the community know we're here and we're here to help.
Right. It seems that the need is growing.
It is. It really is.
The need is growing. And I had a lady on yesterday who was talking about, she's a psychologist out at Marion Tech College, mm-hmm. but they're in the same position.
Yeah.
People can't really go to school because of the condition that they're on. They're mm-hmm. in, but they want to go to school, mm-hmm. you know, but they have to make a choice whether go to school or take care of my home. And,
right.
and we can do all that we can do to help them.
Yeah.
So how do you have a lot of people who come in that are affected by drugs in their lives?
And yeah. Sadly, we do. You know, I've had moments where I've, you know, helped mothers that were, you know, pregnant and addicted, knowing that, you know, their baby's going to be born addicted. I do have a little bit of experience with that, being a foster parent in the past. But we are seeing the drug epidemic affect these families and how they serve each other and their success as parents. It's really sad to see, you know, a lot of these families that come into us to get help don't realize what's the cause of the breakdown, what's the cause of some of their stress, and like you said, not able to make it and make choices, you know, that it's either go to school or stay home, take care of my kids. But again, that we are seeing a huge impact on the drugs in the community, on these families. And that's what, again, we want to help them. We want to make them aware. Part of our curriculum, we have a program that helps understand addiction,
mm-hmm.
Helps, you know, families understand what actually takes place when a mother is pregnant and uses drugs or drinks alcohol. So
right.
we're really trying to get the information out there to help these families become stronger, more educated, you know, on how to prevent birth defects and prevent further problems mm-hmm. and try to get them the information on how to get set free.
True.
You know.
True. I know that, excuse me, got choked, but I know that's mm-hmm. very important.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a Christian, we have learned that whom the Father has set free is free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We see people that are trapped, and they don't know the way out.
Mm-mm.
They don't know the way out. And it's going to take more than flesh and blood to get
right.
them out.
Right.
You know. But we do all that we can do to help them.
Right. I think one of the privileges that we have as a ministry, because we are supported by churches and individuals and businesses who, you know, want to support this ministry, they like what we're doing, we're more free to minister. And so when I have, when we, not just me, but anybody, when we have somebody in our office and they're at the end of their rope, you know, maybe they're at the end of their rope because they're dealing with an unplanned pregnancy, or they're at the end of their rope because they have too much month and not enough money, or they're there because, you know, Children's Services has moved in, and, you know, whatever's causing the breakdown
right.
and the crisis in their family, I love the fact that not only do we have resources to provide, we have information and education to provide, and, you know, we are mentoring, you know, peer counseling. That's right. All wonderful. And I love that. I love each and every one of those opportunities that right. we have that walks through the door. But what I cherish the most is that I can tell them, I'm a believer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a woman who believes in the power of prayer.
Amen.
Can I pray with you?
Right, right.
And it has, in the 3 years that I have worked in this ministry, about four being involved totally as a volunteer and then the director, very few people have refused prayer. Okay. Because at that point, they're just so broken and so down and so
right.
low
right.
that, it, you know, to them, anything that you're doing to help them, they want to receive that. So those moments that I get to pray with them, or one of my team members are praying with people mm-hmm. who are in a crisis, it's awesome seeing them absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of times tears will start coming down, you know, lots of times that then they'll open up and start sharing, you know, an experience they had with God, you know,
right.
in the past or whatever.
Right.
It's just really beautiful that we are given those opportunities and moments to where we can say, we realize you have all this problem and chaos, and let's fix this. But, you know, let me
right.
introduce you to the man who can.
Amen.
And it's just such a wonderful moment. And then when somebody, you know, decides that they want to choose Christ as their Lord and Savior, that's beautiful too.
True.
But the fact that we have that freedom.
Yes.
That, you know, I've even had people that's complete, you know, atheist and mm-hmm. will either say no thank you or, yeah, sure, you can pray for me if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's awesome to
yes,
us.
It is.
It's an
yes,
opportunity.
It is.
But it's neat because then when they come back, you know, even if they've resisted a little bit and just will go, you know, like, oh, okay, yeah, you can pray for me if you want, to where they're coming in and saying, yep, here's my prayer request, because they see God moving
okay,
in their life.
Yeah.
And that's what I ask the Father to do when I'm praying. You know, I'm like, God, you know, show them your love for
yes,
them.
Yes.
Show them where you are, you know, and I can just pray this basic prayer and ask God to release his will over their lives
mm-hmm.
and help them to see him and to feel his presence. And many times it'll come back where somebody's reported to me that, you know, God's done this
yes,
or, you
yes.
know, or again, they'll come with their list and say, yeah, my electric bill's due or this or that. You know, hey, that's great.
Yes, it is great.
I have to tell you one of my favorite stories about this. It was a couple years ago. I hadn't been doing this very long, and I had a family come in that was walking to the appointments.
Okay.
So we'd have to navigate around the weather. They needed our services. They wanted our classes. You know, they needed the resources that we were offering. They needed the mentorship, but they also needed a car.
Right.
They did not have a way. And so we were talking about things, and I said, oh, at the end of the class, I said, okay, well, what can I pray for you about today? And of course, they have no idea, you know, I don't know, everything's fine, you know.
Right.
And I said, well, you need a car. Let's just pray and ask God to give you a car. And I'm thinking,
right.
Barbara, why are you saying this, you know? And so I was like, okay, I say circle up. And basically that what that means is anybody that's near, grab hands, and we make a circle and we pray. And I just prayed. I was like, you know, well, God, if it be your will, please provide them a car.
Right.
They mm-hmm. came bouncing into the office the next week, faces lit up, and
Whoa.
Said, you are not going to believe this. We got a car. And they ended up, I think, like $50 or something
really?
Like that. I mean, and they were like, it's a clunker. I was like, it doesn't matter. That's like a Lamborghini to you. When you're
right.
without a car, anything mm-hmm. that'll get you to point A, you know, or to point B and back to point A, that's
yes.
good. But it was just that moment. I'm like, oh, Lord, you did it.
Yes.
You showed them how powerful you are.
He had to.
And they could not give. I mean, they knew all the glory went to God.
Yes.
And the look on their faces, it was just worth $1 million. It
yes.
was so awesome.
Yes.
So I just love those opportunities.
Yes. You put him on the spot. He had to show
up. I know. I know, because I kind of second-guessed myself, like, Why did you say that? Because then if they don't get a car, you know, shame on me
yeah.
for my little faith. But when they came in, I was just as floored as they
right.
were that God got them a car. It was wonderful.
And he's thinking, shame on me
mm-hmm.
if I don't answer. Because, you know, it's like,
yeah.
I believe, Lord, but help, forgive my unbelief.
Yes.
And that's where you were. But he's
yeah.
like, I got to show up because I can't let these people think
yeah.
that I'm not real and that I don't care for them or love them. He's an awesome God.
He is.
Awesome
and I feel
God.
Like I would be a poor minister or Bible teacher or just a Christian if I neglected to tell people God does say no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember a long time ago, Garth Brooks did a song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. But, you know, it's not unanswered. He
right.
says no. He's
he says
sovereign.
No.
He's
true.
Allowed to say no. And as his daughter, you know, I've had to learn to accept that in my life, in my walk, that, you know, God will say no, but we say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. And if he says no, it's because he has something greater and better. And that's where we have to exercise our faith. That's so true. Being someone that's used to that, and you want to tell people that, that, you know, ask God, expect something good, and expect if he says no, that's because there's something greater coming down the pike, you know? So I think part of that for me is when I'm talking to somebody who's new into the Christian world, or not even a Christian at all, but new into that faith realm, just to kind of see what's going on, God just did a miraculous thing, and I thought that was incredible.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, well, sometimes God will say no, but today he said yes, and you have a car.
Yes, of course, yeah. Of course. And it's like, okay, because you're saying, my God will do this.
Yeah.
You know, he will answer prayer, like you said, one way or the other.
Yeah, he
Not
will do
yet,
it.
No, or yes.
Yeah.
He's going to do that, so... And he's going to show up.
Yeah.
And show up.
When you serve a God who is on time, even when he's 4 days late,
then
you just look at things totally differently.
True.
Yep.
He was late for us, but he was on time.
He was on time for him. He has his own time.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So I know that you have, you said you had served close to 1,000 people, including Marion. County last year, right?
Yeah, over 1,000.
So over 1,000.
1,096.
Okay. Yeah. And so I want to ask you this. I'm going to miss Gail. Oh, boy.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to miss her.
I know. I do miss her.
Yeah. Yeah. Just knowing she's not here anymore, right?
I know. I know. Well, she's still on planet Earth, but she's not in our reach and touch. And I do miss her. And, you know, we served on a team together, Marion Citizens for Life, which is a community outreach, you know, a community program to help promote life. And as Voice of Hope, it's a sister organization. So we sit on the advisory board for that together. And seeing her go is heart-wrenching, you know. And then and her work with Relationship Under Construction, she brought that organization to Voice of Hope. I'm very indebted to her for that because with being a pro-life pregnancy resource center, I'm passionate about being full circle. That's why I talk about anybody who's heard me, you know, be full circle, be pro-life for life. You know, we got to get out there. We got to help these families. You know, yes, I want to encourage women and men to choose life. Absolutely.
Of course.
But I also want to be an organization that will put my money where the mouth, put my money where my mouth is and help. Right. And that's what we do as an organization. We partner with these women. We encourage them to choose life, but then we partner with them and say, we will help you in this journey. You can have as much of us or as little of us as you want, but we'll help you get connected and stay connected and be stronger and, you know, offer all that. But then again, there's the other aspect of the, you know, that Relationships Under Construction covers, which is the purity aspect.
Yes,
and teaching the young people abstinence, you know, that we have a right to do that because, you know, it is a sexual risk avoidance way, you know, it's included. So we have to have that right to teach it. So I'm so grateful to Gail for bringing that to Voice of Hope, even before I was there, because then we partner with them and that helps our ministry be full circle. And I love that. I love that she added that dynamic to that because, you know, I was at a children's ministry training and I saw the most awesome illustration ever. The pastor had a glass of water. He had three people standing, had a glass of water, and he told a pack of Kool-Aid. He said, this child, you know, and he had somebody dump red Kool-Aid into the water and mix it up.
Okay.
And he said, now you hand it down to the next person. So the first person had the glass of clean water. The second person had the Kool-Aid that dumped it in the water. And then the third person, he said, now take the red out of that water. He said, well, how about we don't put the red in it at the beginning?
Right,
exactly.
Right.
That's why ministering to kids is so important. And again, an organization like Relationships Under Construction and Voice of Hope, and that's why we have to partner with them because we are working tirelessly trying to get the red out of the water. It's what we do. And only the power of God can do it. So we want to also partner with and help organizations that are saying, how about we don't put the red in the water at the beginning? And so we want to get it there on that end as well, because we're working in the trenches on the other end. And we're looking at people and working with people that we could say, kids, if you only knew what path you're choosing. So it's really great. I know it is a plug for Relationships Under Construction, but they need it.
Yes,
because it is a fantastic organization. And I know God will, you know, he moved Gail on. And I know that he's going to replace that her. And not replace her, but fill that gap. That's because there's somebody else that needs to rise up into that.
That's true.
And do
that's
that. True. So if they haven't found somebody soon, I hope they do. And I feel sorry for them because they have awesome shoes to fill.
And it's so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I even consider doing it, you know, being a part of that mm-hmm. organization, but I can't do everything.
I know.
It's just so attractive to me. Like, you know, when she would come on my show and talk mm-hmm. about it, they, well, I can do that. I can
I know.
Talk to young
I did
people,
the same thing.
You know, because I messed up along the way and mm-hmm. I could tell them, you know, whether they could, in a way that they could really feel mm-hmm. it. I think I could, you know. I know my girls felt it.
Right.
They went straight on, you know what I'm saying? But, except for one, but that was good out of four.
Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. I have three kids, and I'm like, come on, Lord, all three of them. Let me be the one that will have all three kids saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and preaching and teaching, and purity forever. And then I'm like, but God, help me to just give them the right message, you know,
and
start
says,
that.
She says, well, you should at least expect it one. I like just wonder.
I know.
You know.
I know.
But it happens. It happens.
Yes, it does.
The track record wasn't bad, but yeah, that's a mother's expectation, really. And it's not wrong for us to expect that.
Right. And set the bar high.
Yes.
Or not too high, but high enough to where it takes effort to reach it or get near it.
Yes.
But be okay that when somebody goes below that. And as mothers, I mean, my oldest is 14, so I have no mother advice at all. I've learned. I know nothing. I'm figuring out as I go. But for me, what I cling to is, you know, speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cling to the word where, you know, if we teach our kids when they're old, they won't depart. The Bible promises us that we'll give them truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to trust our truth when we give it to them.
True.
But then we have to always remember the beauty for ashes exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That God promises that when we turn our life into ashes, or, you know, life just kind of has itself all over your situation, and you're standing there, or your children are standing there with a pile of ashes in their hand, we know we can direct them to a God that'll exchange that for something marvelous.
That's true.
So somebody's life will be impacted. You know, when we're ministering to women who have had an abortion, that's what I like to make sure that I impress upon them, that, mm-hmm. you know, God will take this moment, this pain and your heartache, and after you heal, after you full circle, go through the healing process,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you are purchased by the blood of Christ and you were forgiven and redeemed by him, not by your works or action. After that is full circle worked out, then God could take your experience and save hundreds of lives, maybe even thousands of lives.
You're
who knows?
So right about that.
You know, and if it, but it's all about timing.
Yes,
you know, you can't rush into it. You can't, you know, try to buy favor or buy redemption. We're not the Redeemer. Christ is.
No, that's what
I just encourage. That, and so same thing with our kids. If our kids, you know, maybe it's not abortion, but maybe it's just bad decisions that ashes in their life.
Yes.
As mothers, you know, all right, God, you promise.
Yes.
You promise that your word won't return void. It'll accomplish what you sent it out to do. And that's I fill these babies full of word.
Yeah.
You know, so you just start telling them his promises. So that's, I guess that's what I'm hoping that I do when my kids are grown up. So please remind me, you know, if you're listening,
remind me
4 or 5, you know, it was 10 years that I have to remember that my kids are going to do their own thing and they're going to create their own ashes one way or another, you know, but then God's going to turn that into something beautiful to help build the kingdom and rescue people who are in brokenness. You know,
now, you're so right on that point, because when you're raising your children and you're putting so much into them spiritually and even naturally, you know, and you're thinking, well, they're going to go and be great. And they, not saying they're not going to go and be great, but is that when that thing happened with my daughter, I thought I'd die.
Yeah.
I had put so much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can imagine.
I thought I was going to die. Even asked the doctor, put me in the hospital. I said, I'm going to die. He said, I can do that.
Yeah.
But when you come out, she's still going to be pregnant.
It's still going to be there. Yeah. I had a friend tell me once that, I mean, she's raised her kids and she has grandkids now. And she and I were talking about her ashes moment where, you know, her and her boyfriend had to choose life back in the day when, boy, it was just scandalous to be pregnant. And she said that she had an aunt tell her mother, she's not the first.
Right.
And she's not going to be the last.
True.
And somehow that resonated with her mom, and it helped, you know,
that
she's not the first and she is not going to be the last.
Thank God for her grandmother.
I know. And I pray all the time for the Lord to help me as a mom with teenagers. You know, I have one teen and one soon to be a teenager, that I'm able to teach the truth, trust the truth, but always say, don't hide.
Right,
you know,
right.
if something goes wrong, you know, you're given so much control. There's only so much I can do at this point.
Right.
You know, I've got to let go. And that's what's been hard for me, is knowing when to let go, when to hold back. But I'm trying to teach my kids that, you know, unplanned pregnancies are not disasters, you know.
Right,
and
right.
Here's, you know, lesson on purity, lesson on, you know, blah, 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 blah. I try to always cover that and let them know. And trust me, my 14-year-old, she's already started the purity classes at my work. I've already got her started taking the training for that. And she loves it. She loves the information. And I think it's the perfect age to teach them about, you know, sexual risk and how to avoid it. And the only 100% way, and then, you know, always taught them how to obey God and the commandments. But I also want to say, nothing you do will ever make me not love you.
True.
And there's absolutely nothing that you need to hide from me. We'll work through
it. That's the big one.
And I try so hard.
That's the big one.
Because my mom did that. I don't even know if she remembers this, but I remember when I was a young teenager, she said, you know, I want you to know something. If you ever need me, you can call. If you get into trouble, no questions asked.
Right.
And it was like, she didn't say a lot of words there. For me and my mother both, that's a lot. If she's listening, she's probably laughing. But we are not women of few words.
Right.
But she said a few words, and I knew what she meant. She made it very clear to me, because I wasn't allowed to drink. I wasn't allowed to go out and be promiscuous or do anything like that. You know, my mom raised me pure and, you know, don't drink. But she let me know if I was ever in trouble to call, no matter the hour, no questions asked. She would come get me and she would help me.
Right.
That I didn't have to fear that. And it just settled deep within me that I knew that.
Yes,
I knew that, even though as a teenager, I thought my mom would murderize me 10 different ways if I ever got pregnant, you know, but I had this deep thing inside of me that if something happened and I got into trouble, if that meant, you know, out somewhere in drugs or alcohol or got pregnant, I knew I could go to her.
Right.
Even though the standard was set, I knew the difference between holiness, holy living and non-holy living. You know, she taught me so well on that expectation of purity from God and that expectation of, you know, staying clean from drugs or alcohol, any kind of substance there. You know, whether I obeyed her fully or not, I knew the difference between right or wrong. There was no question.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was nice to know she had that. All I had to do was, you know, it was almost like enact the hidden, the unspoken thing.
Right.
Like, Mom, I'm in trouble.
Yes.
I need you. I always knew I could do that. And I hope and I pray that I'm able to convey that to my kids the way that my mom did for me, because I knew. And again, go back to where I am, you know, at a pregnancy center. It's heartbreaking to me when I have a young girl, and a lot of times it'll be a college age, first year college. That's the worst. They'll sit in my office trembling all over and will not tell their parents. Terrified to tell their parents.
Well, you know why? It was the expectation that their parents had for them. That's a hard one.
And as a mom, I look and I'm like, my thing that I start off is say, first of all, you need to tell your parents. But do me a favor. Let them be human.
Yes.
You know, because they had a dream for you.
That's
they had a plan for you. What happens when things don't go the way you want it to go? Instantly you get angry. Let them be human, whatever they say and do. You know, keep in your mind, okay, this is them being a human being.
Yes.
Let it settle and then have the conversation.
Right, right.
But your mom loves you. I'm sure your mom loves you. I'm sure your dad loves you.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the hardest one.
It is.
You know,
one
because
of the
they just the disappointing their parents, they'd rather do anything than to disappoint their parents, you know.
Yes, because just like you're doing, you're nurturing from the womb, you know, until they're like ready to go into college, and everything is set up, the funds, you're in college, you got your what they call it, loans.
And financial aid paid, scholarships covered. Yeah, loans and more loans.
And you barely even get in the door and
one wrong temptation. Decision. I know. Yeah.
Temptation. And then it's like, Mom, oh, I can't tell her.
Yeah.
And we feel like it would kill her or it would be devastating to her, you know. So we'll keep it quiet as long as we can. But that is such good advice that you gave them. It really is.
Yeah.
And I hope those who are listening may be able to pick up some pointers from our conversation. Because, like you said, they won't be the first.
And they're not going to be the last.
No, by no means. Yeah. Right, by no
means. And get them connected. You know, again, I love being a part of a pregnancy resource center because the moment you, if you think you're pregnant or you think your kid's pregnant, you know, get them connected. Because sometimes hearing another voice other than mom's voice, or, you know, could help. And that's happened a lot of times. I've had a lot of moms thank us because their girl got into trouble, got in a situation, and then drowned them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be telling them probably the same thing, just about that mom's going to be telling them, but it's just different coming from someone else.
Yeah.
But get them connected. I mean, Voice of Hope Pregnancy Center, we're in three counties. You know, Marion County, Crawford County, and Wyandotte County. We'll get to you. And if you're in Delaware County, we work with them and we'll get you connected there as well. It's very important that the girl gets connected quickly, as quick as possible.
Right.
So we can start offsetting that anxiety, that wave of fear. You know, I always call it the crown of anxiety, the swirl, you know, around, the things that swirl around your head when you know you're pregnant and it was not planned. It was not part of anybody's plan. And you think in diapers, wipes, formula, doctor's appointments, clothing, you know, we just ask, let us wear the crown of anxiety.
Right.
Why don't we, don't you worry about anything and let's minister to you, minister to your needs and to your right now. And then we can help you make a healthy choice for yourself, for your family, for your child. You know, what is the healthiest choice for your child? Some women do think that, adoption is the better choice. And I fully support that.
Right.
I mean, being a mom who has adopted, it's like when we adopted our son, he filled a gap we didn't know was there. So I love the fact that I get to tell that to moms. But but first and foremost, I want the moms to know they have what it takes. I never push the adoption option, but I just want them to be informed that adoption doesn't have to be a bad word. You know, and I've had abortion-minded women and girls say, they come in, you know, I want to get an abortion. I can't do this. 10 reasons. This is 10 reasons I can't have this baby. And then I start talking about adoption. They look at me like, that's monstrous idea. I could never give up my child for adoption. I'm thinking, you don't understand.
Right.
Adoption is miraculous.
Yes, it is.
And you can be a part of choosing your child's forever family and forever parents.
Yes.
And you could be filling a hole that somebody doesn't even know it's there. And then I point to my son. I have his picture strategically on my wall.
Right.
And I tell them about him and how I love him so deeply and desperately. The kid has me wrapped around his finger. You've probably witnessed it.
Oh, of course.
Because he does. But I can then start sharing with them how beautiful, miraculous adoption is if they think that that's a choice. It is not a terrible choice.
No,
it could be a great, beautiful choice.
I think so, too.
If it's what you really feel in your heart that you want to do. But first and foremost, like I said, I want the mom to know they have what it takes. Don't discount yourself.
Right.
You know, we'll pray about it. Let's get to the core of it. We've got people that'll talk to you. We've got programs you can go through to help you navigate through the emotions. Make sure you're not making a totally emotional decision at that moment, but make a more thought out decision, you know, and a planned decision.
Right.
So it's just really beautiful to be a part of that as
That's good. That's good. And they need so many families can't conceive.
Yes.
And they're in dire straits because they want a child so bad. And the thing about that is I always felt because they can't.
Yeah.
And they want it that much more because they can't.
I know.
And if you can, it's a little different.
It is.
Because you can. You know, but just think if you could not.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Hannah or Hadassah. Just think. You know.
I cannot imagine. And the one thing I do like to tell with my story when I share it about our adoption is when I'm talking to parents, to a man and a woman who wants to be parents and can't, mm-hmm. I love the moment that I get to share with them. There is no difference mm-hmm. between the two children that I biologically birthed
right.
and the child that I adopted. The love that I have for my children is equal, which to me is miraculous. Because right. if you have a baby, you know, you can't fathom anything or anybody right. being equal. I mean, even when I had my first baby, I thought, oh, no. There's no way I'm going to be able to love the second baby as much as I do the first baby. My dad always said, your heart just gets bigger. You'll be fine.
That's true.
I'm like, I couldn't fathom it. I loved so desperately
right.
and deeply. I loved Hannah, my firstborn. And then Hadessa came along, and sure enough, I was able to love her just as much as
yes,
Hannah.
As
and
much.
it was miraculous.
Yes.
And then in adopting, you know, you think, oh, there might be a little difference.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, straight-faced and flat-footed, there is no difference. That child is so woven into our life and
wow.
our family and our wow. hearts. We could not possibly love him more.
Yes.
If we would have biologically produced this child, it would not have had us love him anymore.
Mm.
It's impossible. I look at him and he smiles and I think my heart's going to explode. I couldn't contain more love for him. It'd be impossible.
Yes,
it would be unhealthy.
Yeah.
So I guess where I'm getting at, I'm kind of rambling about this, is when you're talking to somebody who, you know, cannot biologically birth,
mm-hmm.
I can assure them, if you get to do the miraculous adoption,
mm-hmm.
you've got it all.
Right.
You're not missing right. out on anything,
That's
really,
true.
Because it's just so amazing.
Wow.
So amazing.
That's great.
And then it goes back to how we're adopted in through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're adopted into the kingdom. And the spirit
right.
of adoption is anointed and blessed by
mm-hmm.
God for that reason.
That's great. You know, and as you were saying it, I do want to get to your banquet that you're mm-hmm. having before we're out of time. It goes so
I know
fast.
Don't let me run out of time and not talk about the banquet. That would be terrible.
Yeah, because I think God adjusts your heart. It has to be through him
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
the baby already knows you're their mother.
Mm-hmm.
They've never seen you before. It's like you said, it's miraculous. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're adopting a baby. You haven't seen this baby yet, but you already love this baby.
Yes.
You know, I just by watching
yep.
people
yep.
and the lady from our church,
mm-hmm.
I don't know her name, but anyway,
yep.
she loved that baby. That baby received her like, oh, here's my mommy.
Yep.
You know, I'm like,
yep.
oh my. I mean, from birth.
Right.
From birth.
Yeah.
So it has to come from him.
Yeah, it is. It is miraculous. I agree wholeheartedly.
So now, let's get to the banquet.
All right. Well, I am super, super excited about our banquet this year. First of all, this is our 30th year of ministry. So we started in 1988. So this
okay.
year, we wanted to really celebrate, pull out stops, make sure that we're, you know, everything that we do this year, we want to make it bigger, make
okay.
it big, and make an impression. Because what a blessing for a ministry to be, you know, going for 30 years.
Yes,
and a ministry that, again, like I said earlier, we do not get federal funds.
Mm-hmm.
We are funded by churches, individual donors,
okay.
and businesses who want to partner with us and believe in what we are doing. The Full Circle Effect, the Full Circle Pro-Life,
mm-hmm.
helping these families, you know, helping women with crisis pregnancy, helping families with the crisis of too much month and not enough money, and helping these families who are just suffering from brokenness and need extra help to repair and restore
right.
their family that's been ravaged. So what better way? We actually, with our banquet, every year we raise funds with an annual fall fundraising banquet.
Okay.
This is our biggest fundraiser that we actually do, the fundraising event that we do. So this year we are bringing in Abby Johnson.
Okay.
Some people may not know who Abby Johnson is, but I encourage you, look her up, Google Abby Johnson. You can actually find information about her on our website at betheldonors.org. But Abby Johnson was an executive. She was one of the directors for Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
So she was a champion, pro Planned Parenthood, until she had a miraculous moment where she was helping make a training video, and she watched the baby literally fight and flinch for his or her life,
which
that gave her a life-changing view. Mm. I mean, it shattered everything she knew and thought about abortion. So she has just really championed the cause. She's an author. She's written a book, And Then There Were None. But she's really championed the rights for this unborn child and trying to, you know, expose Planned Parenthood and some of the things that they are doing. Right. So she does have a national ministry. She, like I said, she's been on Fox News before. She's written books. But Abby Johnson is phenomenal, and I cannot do her story justice.
Okay.
You have to come and hear her story. Hear the things that she wants to say. I actually met her in D.C. a couple years ago when I was there, and I've heard her speak.
Okay.
She has a phenomenal story. So I encourage everyone to get tickets, to come to our event. Like I said, this is the biggest event that we have. This helps keeps our doors open, helps keep us doing you know what we've been doing for 30 years. But the tickets are $30 for single, $50 for two tickets. Now, you can also get a VIP pass to meet Abby. So anybody who's hearing me, if they know who Abby Johnson is, they may want to get the VIP pass.
Right.
So you can call the office. Our phone number is 243-0419. I almost gave you my number. I don't think you guys want my phone number. But 740-223-0419. You can give the office a call and information on a VIP pass upgrade, or you can do it online when you order your tickets. If you are interested in sponsoring a table, you can do that. It's $300 to sponsor a table. Especially if you have a business or an organization that you want to promote, we'll do a sign and, you know, table sponsored by, you know, Voice of Hope. Pretend I'm sponsoring a table. But this year's banquet is going to be at the Barn at All Occasions. It's 6989 Marion Waldo Road. It's September 20th. Doors open at 6:30 and the dinner starts at 7. So again, I encourage you to get more information about the banquet. There's information, there's a read there I put for Abby, but go to our website at betheldonors.org, B-E-T-H-E-L, donors.org. If you go to betheldonors.org, you can click right on the link that says click here for banquet tickets, and it'll drop down a menu where you can order the tickets, however many you want. If you want to get a VIP pass, you can do it online. If you want to sponsor a table, you can do it all there, or you can give the office a call to get more information. And there's only so much that I can say. But again, the phone number for my office is 740-223-0419.
Well, great. That's if you want a ticket, it's always a fun time.
Yes.
Good food.
Yep. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we're upgrading. I'm going to give you a little scoop. If you're gluten-free, let me know. But we are doing the buffet, and we're going to have the prime rib this year.
Oh,
prime rib.
Sounds good.
Everybody's going to want that. So their food is so amazing. So this year, we decided to even upgrade the food and get some really good stuff going on. So we will be having prime rib. But if you need gluten-free options, we'll also be there. But, yeah, please call the office. And if you have any questions about the organization, you know, please feel free to give us a call at that number as well. I'll be happy to talk to anybody who wants to know more about Voice of Hope.
Right. Because I love the word hope.
I do too.
That's what it is. It's all about hope. It's not over till it's over, right?
Nope. And there's always hope.
There's hope.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it looks, there's hope. There is hope. There is hope. So hold on to hope.
Amen.
And thank you, Barb, for coming and sharing with us about Voice of Hope and some of your personal experiences, which we always love. And thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People today. And of course, we are out of time. This is Linda Sims, A Voice of a People from WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Until next time, be blessed.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No kidding, you're among the seats.
I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention, and if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention. Probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, commenting on Hillary Clinton.
Do you have, in closing this week, do you have a favorite Hillary Clinton story?
Well, you know, I would see her quite often. One of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced. She was in charge of that, the whole ceremony and everything. She was the master of ceremonies. And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented. And she did a beautiful job with that, but she's always so friendly, and it upsets me when I hear people talk about her the way they do, because that isn't her, and I don't know why it's ended up that way, you know? But if somebody'd explain it to me, I'd like to know.
Jim Blessing, grandson of President Warren G. Harding, announcing exclusively on WWGH Radio who he will support in the 2016 presidential election.
So your support would be with Trump?
I think that's what I would do. I think that's where I would go.
To Scott Spears at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, with conservative legend Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.